Chapter 122. Making Miss Wilfer stand for pounds, shillings, and pence. Apostrophe apostrophe my feeling for Miss Wilfer, apostrophe pursued the secretary, without deigning to notice him, is not one to be ashamed of. I avow it. I love her. Let me go where I may, when I presently leave this house, I shall go into a blank life, leaving her. Apostrophe, leaving 50. SD behind me, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, by way of commentary, with another wink. That I am incapable, apostrophe the secretary went on, still without heeding him, of a mercenary project, or a mercenary thought, in connection with Miss Wilfer, is nothing meritorious in me, because any prize, that I could put before my fancy would sink into insignificance beside her. If the greatest wealth or the highest rank were hers, it would only be important in my sight as removing her still farther from me, and making me more hopeless, if that could be. Say, apostrophe remarked the secretary, looking full at his late master, say that with a word she could strip Mr. Boffin of his fortune and take possession of it, she would be of no greater worth in my eyes than she is. Apostrophe, what do you think by this time, old lady, apostrophe asked Mr. Boffin, turning to his wife in a bantering tone, about this rokesmith here, and his caring for the truth? You needn't say what you think, my dear, because I don't want you to cut in, but you can think it all the same. As to taking possession of my property, I warrant you, he wouldn't do that himself if he could. Apostrophe, no, apostrophe returned the secretary, with another full look. Ha, ha, ha. Apostrophe, apostrophe laughed Mr. Boffin. There's nothing like a good un while you are about it. Apostrophe, I have been for a moment, apostrophe said the secretary, turning from him, and falling into his former manner, diverted from the little I have to say. My interest in Miss Wilfer began when I first saw her. Even began when I had only heard of her. It was, in fact, the cause of my throwing myself in Mr. Boffin's way, and entering his service. Miss Wilfer has never known this until now. I mention it now, only as a corroboration, though I hope it may be needless, of my being free from the sordid design attributed to me. Apostrophe, now, this is a very artful dog, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, with a deep look. This is a longer-headed schemer than I thought him. See how patiently and methodically he goes to work. He gets to know about me and my property, and about this young lady, and her share in poor young John's story, and he puts this and that together, and he says to himself, I'll get in with Boffin, and I'll get in with this young lady, and I'll work 'em both at the same time, and I'll bring my pigs to market somewhere. I hear him say it, bless you. I look at him now, and I see him say it. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Boffin pointed at the culprit, as it were in the act, and hugged himself in his great penetration. But luckily he hadn't to deal with the people he supposed. Bella, my dear. Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. No. Luckily he had to deal with you, and with me, and with Daniel and Miss Dancer, and with Elves, and with Vulture Hopkins, and with Blueberry Jones and all the rest of us, one down t'other come on. And he's beat, that's what he is, regularly beat. He thought to squeeze money out of us, and he has done for himself instead, Bella my dear. Apostrophe apostrophe, Bella my dear made no response, gave no sign of acquiescence. When she had first covered her face she had sunk upon a chair with her hands resting on the back of it, and had never moved since. There was a short silence at this point, and Mrs. Boffin softly rose, as if to go to her. But, Mr. Boffin stopped her with a gesture, and she obediently sat down again, and stayed where she was. There's your pay, Mr. Rokesmith, apostrophe said the Golden Dustman, jerking the folded scrap of paper he had in his hand, towards his late secretary. I dare say you can stoop to pick it up, after what you have stooped to here. Apostrophe, I have stooped to nothing but this, apostrophe Rokesmith answered as he took it from the ground, and this is mine, for I have earned it by the hardest of hard labor. Apostrophe, you're a pretty quick packer, I hope, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, because the sooner you are gone, bag and baggage, the better for all parties. Apostrophe, you need have no fear of my lingering. Apostrophe, there's just one thing though, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, that I should like to ask you, before we come to a good riddance, if it was only to show this young lady, how conceited you schemers are, in thinking that nobody finds out how you contradict yourselves. Apostrophe, ask me anything you wish to ask, apostrophe returned Rokesmith, but use the expedition that you recommend. Apostrophe, you pretend to have a mighty admiration for this young lady? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, laying his hand protectingly on Bella's head without looking down at her. I do not pretend. Apostrophe, oh. Well, you have a mighty admiration for this young lady, since you are so particular? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, how do you reconcile that, with this young lady's being a weak-spirited, improvident idiot, not knowing what was due to herself, flinging up her money to the church weathercocks, and racing off at a splitting pace for the workhouse? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't understand you. Apostrophe, don't you? Or won't you? What else could you have made this young lady out to be, if she had listened to such addresses as yours? Apostrophe, apostrophe, what else, if I had been so happy, as to win her affections and possess her heart? Apostrophe, apostrophe, win her affections, apostrophe retorted Mr. Boffin, with ineffable contempt, and possess her heart. Mew says the cat, quack quack says the duck, bow wow wow says the dog. Win her affections and possess her heart. Mew, quack quack, bow wow. Apostrophe, John Rokesmith stared at him in his outburst, as if with some faint idea that he had gone mad. What is due to this young lady, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, is money, and this young lady right well knows it. Apostrophe, you slander the young lady. Apostrophe, you slander the young lady, you with your affections and hearts and trumpery, apostrophe returned Mr. Boffin. It's of a piece with the rest of your behavior. I heard of these doings of yours only last night, or you should have heard of them from me, sooner, take your oath of it. I heard of them from a lady with as good a headpiece as the best, and she knows this young lady, and I know this young lady, and we all three know that it's money she makes a stand for, money, 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 and that you and your affections and hearts are a lie, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Boffin, apostrophe said Rokesmith, quietly turning to her, for your delicate and unvarying kindness I thank you with the warmest gratitude. Goodbye, Miss Wilfer, goodbye. Apostrophe, and now, my dear, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, laying his hand on Bella's head again, you may begin to make yourself quite comfortable, and I hope you feel that you've been righted. Apostrophe, but, Bella was so far from appearing to feel it, that she shrank from his hand, and from the chair, and, starting up in an incoherent passion of tears, and stretching out her arms, cried, oh Mr. Rokesmith, before you go, if you could, but make me poor again. Oh, make me poor again, somebody, I beg and pray, or my heart will break, if this goes on. Pa, dear, make me poor again, and take me home. I was bad enough there, but I have been so much worse here. Don't give me money, Mr. Boffin, I won't have money. Keep it away from me, and only let me speak to good little Pa, and lay my head upon his shoulder, and tell him all my griefs. Nobody else can understand me, nobody else can comfort me, nobody else knows how unworthy I am, and yet can love me like a little child. I am better with Pa than anyone more innocent, more sorry, more glad. Apostrophe, apostrophe, so, crying out in a wild way, that she could not bear this, Bella drooped her head on Mrs. Boffin's ready breast. John Rokesmith from his place in the room, and Mr. Boffin from his, looked on at her in silence until she was silent herself. Then Mr. Boffin observed in a soothing and comfortable tone, there, my dear, there, you are righted now, and it's all right. I don't wonder, I'm sure, at your being a little flurried by having a scene with this fellow, but it's all over, my dear, and you're righted, and it's all right. ... which Mr. Boffin repeated with a highly satisfied air of completeness and finality. I hate you. ... cried Bella, turning suddenly upon him, with a stamp of her little foot at least. I can't hate you, but I don't like you. ... hello. ... exclaimed Mr. Boffin in an amazed undertone. You're a scolding, unjust, abusive, aggravating, bad old creature. ... cried Bella. I am angry with my ungrateful self for calling you names, but you know you are. ... Mr. Boffin stared here, and stared there, as misdoubting that he must be in some sort of fit. I have heard you with shame, ... said Bella. With shame for myself, and with shame for you. You ought to be above the base tale-bearing of a time-serving woman, but you are above nothing now. ... Mr. Boffin, seeming to become convinced that this was a fit, rolled his eyes, and loosened his neckcloth. When I came here, I respected you and honored you, and I soon loved you, ... cried Bella. And now I can't bear the sight of you. At least, I don't know that I ought to go so far as that only you're a monster. ... Having shot this bolt out with a great expenditure of force, Bella hysterically laughed and cried together. The best wish I can wish you is, ... said Bella, returning to the charge, that you had not one single farthing in the world. If any true friend and well-wisher could make you a bankrupt, you would be a duck. But as a man of property you are a demon. ... After dispatching this second bolt with a still greater expenditure of force, Bella laughed and cried still more. Mr. Oaksmith, pray stay one moment. Pray hear one word from me before you go. I am deeply sorry for the reproaches you have borne on my account. Out of the depths of my heart I earnestly and truly beg your pardon. ... As she stepped towards him, he met her. As she gave him her hand, he put it to his lips, and said, God bless you. ... No laughing was mixed with Bella's crying then. Her tears were pure and fervent. There is not an ungenerous word that I have heard addressed to you heard with scorn and indignation, Mr. Oaksmith, but it has wounded me far more than you, for I have deserved it, and you never have. Mr. Oaksmith, it is to me you owe this perverted account of what passed between us that night. I parted with the secret, even while I was angry with myself for doing so. It was very bad in me, but indeed it was not wicked. I did it in a moment of conceit and folly, one of my many such moments, one of my many such hours, years. As I am punished for it severely, try to forgive it. ... I do with all my soul. ... Thank you. Oh, thank you. Don't part from me till I have said one other word, to do you justice. The only fault you can be truly charged with, in having spoken to me as you did that night with how much delicacy, and how much forbearance no one, but I can know, or be grateful to you for, is, that you laid yourself open to be slighted by a worldly shallow girl whose head was turned, and who was quite unable to rise to the worth of what you offered her. Mr. Oaksmith, that girl has often seen herself in a pitiful and poor light since, but never in so pitiful and poor a light as now, when the mean tone in which she answered you, sordid and vain girl that she was, has been echoed in her ears by Mr. Boffin. ... He kissed her hand again. Mr. Boffin's speeches were detestable to me, shocking to me, ... said Bella, startling that gentleman with another stamp of her little foot. It is quite true that there was a time, and very lately, when I deserved to be so righted, Mr. Oaksmith. But I hope that I shall never deserve it again. ... He once more put her hand to his lips, and then relinquished it, and left the room. Bella was hurrying back to the chair in which she had hidden her face so long, when, catching sight of Mrs. Boffin by the way, she stopped at her. He is gone, apostrophe sobbed Bella indignantly, despairingly, in 50 ways at once, with her arms round Mrs. Boffin's neck. He has been most shamefully abused, and most unjustly, and most basely driven away, and I am the cause of it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, all this time, Mr. Boffin had been rolling his eyes over his loosened neckerchief, as if his fit were still upon him. Appearing now to think that he was coming to, he stared straight before him for a while, tied his neckerchief again, took several long inspirations, swallowed several times, and ultimately exclaimed with a deep sigh, as if he felt himself on the whole better. Well, apostrophe, apostrophe, no word, good or bad, did Mrs. Boffin say, but she tenderly took care of Bella, and glanced at her husband, as if for orders. Mr. Boffin, without imparting any, took his seat on a chair over against them, and there sat leaning forward, with a fixed countenance, his legs apart, a hand on each knee, and his elbows squared, until Bella should dry her eyes and raise her head, which in the fullness of time she did. I must go home, apostrophe said Bella, rising hurriedly. I am very grateful to you for all you have done for me, but I can't stay here. Apostrophe, my darling girl. Apostrophe, apostrophe, remonstrated Mrs. Boffin. No, I can't stay here, apostrophe said Bella, I can't indeed. Ugh! You vicious old thing! Apostrophe, apostrophe, this to Mr. Boffin. Don't be rash, my love, apostrophe urged Mrs. Boffin. Think well of what you do. Apostrophe, yes, you had better think well, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin. I shall never more think well of you, apostrophe cried Bella, cutting him short, with intense defiance in her expressive little eyebrows, and championship of the late secretary in every dimple. No, never again. Your money has changed you to marble. You are a hard-hearted miser. You are worse than Dancer, worse than Hopkins, worse than Blackberry Jones, worse than any of the wretches. And more. Apostrophe, apostrophe, proceeded Bella, breaking into tears again, you were wholly undeserving of the gentleman you have lost. Apostrophe, why, you don't mean to say, Miss Bella, apostrophe, the Golden Dustman slowly remonstrated, that you set up Rokesmith against me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I do. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Bella. He is worth a million of you. Apostrophe, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.